Welcome in Lineup Logic. This is Alex Remazowski, Donald Remington on Twitter. Coming at you for the 2019 Honda Classic. Another week of PGA, coming off of a mildly tilting WGC event down in Mexico last week. So we're going to try to quickly forget about that one. Unless you had any good luck, then congratulations to you. Dustin Johnson takes home the victory, and we all sit here wondering why we didn't just assume that would be the case. It seems that these WGC events get dominated by a typical three or four guys, Dustin Johnson definitely being number one from that group. And, you know, I've been high on Dustin Johnson all year. He's Dustin Johnson. He is top of the field always. He has a couple semi-off weeks, and by off weeks when we're talking about him, it's like top 20, top 25. So maybe you go a little lighter on him, maybe you fade him, you end up regretting it. That seems to be how it goes. With that said, we're back to a full field, we're back to a typical PGA Tour event, and you gotta be a little excited about that. Cut after 36 holes, top 70 in ties, the usual, you know, WGC events can be very tricky from a DFS standpoint, and I think, you know, as time goes along, as you continue to play PGA DFS, you kind of learn a new approach to it and realize you can leave some salary on the table. You can take some risks. You can play some lesser known players and hope they finish well, which we definitely had a few of those names last week. Afa Barnrat, just consistent all week, but he'd done that at that course before. Other than that, it was pretty big names. You saw like David Lipsky, he was playing real well. Joost Luiten, I always forget how to say his name until I don't need to know how to say his name, and then I remember how to say it. But he shot a 64 on Sunday, finished T10. So was really like certain people that you had to be on. You got to have DJ, Rory, or both. I know some people out there had both DJ and Rory, and you put those two on top of each other, and you're looking pretty good. So with that said, the 2019 Honda Classic, we are done with the West Coast swing. We're heading over to Florida. So we're on the East Coast now. Thursday morning, early, be ready. No tinkering. No tinkering allowed on Thursday morning, because you're going to wake up and they're going to be playing. Unless you wake up real early, then I'm sorry for you and enjoy your tinkering. I'm jealous. I wake up early, but not that early. PGA National. Very difficult course. Par 70, which we haven't seen in a little while. So we're talking a lot of par 4s. It's a short course. I'm seeing some conflicting information in terms of actual yardage of the course, but it's going to play no longer than 7,125 yards. Again, par 70, we're talking 12 par 4s, only 2 par 5s. But it remains one of the most difficult courses on tour year after year after year. There are a ton of guys. It's crazy once you start looking. There are a ton of guys that live or own a house or spend part of the year within, say, a half hour of this course. It's in near Jupiter, Florida. Jupiter, Florida is like the epicenter of PGA Tour pros, at least on the East Coast. Similar to Scottsdale, maybe some Vegas, some places in California on the West Coast. So it is pretty interesting to start looking at these things because some of these players have proven to do pretty well year after year. Our last two winners, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, actually Adam Scott too in 2016, all either live there all year or have a house there or spend a lot of time there in Jupiter, which is not very far outside of Palm Beach Gardens, which is where PGA National is. A couple things you might remember about the course, holes 15 to 17, the bear trap. It's called the bear trap because it can show its teeth and it can get real ugly real quick. Last year it was windy, the greens were super fast. That par three, I believe 16, you can hit the green and end up in the water. It's a difficult stretch of holes. Last year, you might remember Justin Thomas. Get out of here, buddy. You're out of here, buddy. Because someone yelled, get in the bunker. That was a lot of fans' turning point on Justin Thomas. You go from he's the cool young guy. I want him to win, to I don't know how I feel about Justin Thomas. I've actually kind of been internally debating myself about that from there on out until now. So doesn't matter because this is daily fantasy sports, and once you start taking sides and choosing the guys you like, that's when you start losing. And I think everyone probably has a little bit of that problem from week to week, especially if you're a true fan of golf, someone who really follows the tour and watches every week, you're gonna end up liking some guys and not necessarily liking others. And without even knowing it, you're probably putting those guys you like in your lineups. So, always something to think about. I always preach the stay on the guys you're staying on and keep doing your thing. It's very tough. It's tough to do. It's really, takes a long time. Takes a long time. So, more about PGA National Bermuda Greens. We're in Florida. You can look at the Florida guys. You can look at the guys who putt well on Bermuda. The grass is very different than what we were just playing on over in California. So there are definitely some guys who have proven to play much better in Florida than they do in California. And a large part of that is the greens. And can you make putts on Bermuda versus POA? And POA versus any other type of green. So I'm going to try to get a little bit into that while keeping this somewhat quick tonight. Very short course, mentioned that. Par fours. The greens are normally very fast, but weather-wise, looking at a good bit of rain forecasted for Wednesday. So it's very possible. This being Florida, a lot of the courses down there don't necessarily have the best drainage, which is interesting because it does rain a good bit. So it could slow things down. You might not be looking at the same extremely fast greens as we saw last year. Last year it was also very windy. Doesn't look like it's going to be too windy this year, which maybe scores will be lower. That remains to be seen, but pretty much the winning score of this tournament has ranged anywhere from 6 under to 12 under for the last 5, 6 years. So, I mean, it's a tough course. 12 under is 12 under in 4 rounds, but compared to some of these other tournaments we see on a week-to-week basis, this actually was the second most difficult course on tour last year, and it's usually right around there. A couple random facts. Only four players have won this tournament, their first shot at it. So first time ever, or actually that's since 1980. And no first timer has ever won here since 2005. That's a, 13 years straight, no first timers ever won here. Only one person ever has gone back-to-back here. That's Jack Nicklaus. That was some time ago. Justin Thomas won here last year. He may look like the clear-cut favorite, but hey, if you'd like to look into those very specific stats, it's something to think about. That's not saying he's not going to finish in second. So definitely something to think about there. I'm going to be talking maybe a little bit about we had two tournaments last week, the WGC Mexico, which we all know what happened. DJ won. Said enough about DJ. We don't need to talk about him anymore. Then we also had the Puerto Rican Open going on, kind of the secondary event there, where there were some names in that event, and there's going to be some of those names here this week, especially certain guys, Martin Trainer, Daniel Berger, Johnson Wagner, a few guys who played very well, who are going to be showing up this week. Puerto Rico to Florida, got some travel there, some changes to think about, but definitely some information we can take from there into this week. I'll shout out Lineup Logic real quick before we jump into this field for everything we offer for a PGA-wise, a weekly cheat sheet, a weekly stat model. Go to www.patreon.com/lineuplogic. It's $10 a month and you get everything. It's the whole Patreon chat with the community. Everybody's talking every night. Very, very, very good projections with NBA, MLB starting up right now. Got a good group in NHL, PGA, myself and Mike, Roto One. Try to be there every week, especially around lock time, the best we can. So head over there, $10, you get everything. It's quite the deal. For a very, very good community. All right, let's hop into this field here for the Honda. Starting up top, over 10K. We got JT, top of the line here. No DJ this week. Top three guys you're looking at, JT, Ricky, and Brooks. JT and Ricky, like I said, JT won in 2018, Ricky won in 2017. Back-to-back, not a good look here. Pretty interesting to think about. Ricky got cut last year, but a lot of people are going to be looking right at Justin Thomas here. Week in and week out, he just remains dominant. Last week was a WGC up against the best of the best. I was actually 98% fade on Justin Thomas. I said that loosely. It was like one single lineup with Justin Thomas. And I was happy about it for 3 days. He was, he had a decent start, kind of middle of the pack, and just stayed there until Sunday when he went bonkers and flew up the leaderboard. So it was almost like, oh, Justin Thomas, like maybe there are some courses that he's not necessarily meant for. Maybe he's been playing a lot lately. Maybe whatever it is. Sure enough, shoots right up there and shows us what he's made of. So I think people are going to have that Sunday round in their head. Justin Thomas is going to get attention one way or another, and I think he is a great play here. In terms of par fours, he's kind of one of my staples. When I see a par four tournament, he's always at the top. He's in the top numbers-wise pretty much across the board, other than, surprisingly enough, putting on Bermuda greens, top 50, which is, you know, better than two-thirds of the field right there. The course is interesting in that You can lose strokes off the tee. You can make them up scrambling, but really you need to avoid the big mistakes, especially on the few stretch of holes where water really comes into play. I didn't mention this earlier. There's water on like 16 holes, or I think it comes into actual play on 12 holes, 12 of the 18 holes. But there is physically water on, I believe, 16 of the 18 holes. It's a crazy amount. And then there's a ton of sand out there too. Like I said, it's a short course, so you immediately think fairways. And I think that's probably the side that I would lean to this week, in accuracy over distance, just judging by the amount of trouble on the course, the fact that it's a very difficult course, and then the distance. It's only 7,000 yards. So you would lean that way, but if you actually dig into the stats a little bit of the people who have fared well here over the past few years, you can gain strokes off the tee and then lose them on the green and still finish up top 10. So it's all roundabout. This is all kind of the same every week, but you need to kind of choose your spots here, choose what you think is the most important. Approach is always a great thing to look at. Ball striking is always a great thing to look at. One thing I tried to dig into this week is ball striking the last two tournaments of each player's, the last two tournaments each player has played in, ball striking only, kind of taking greens out of the equation, seeing who's getting to the green the most efficiently. And then if you factor in a little Bermuda putting over a longer time span, you can kind of mash those two together. And I think it's a pretty solid equation for someone who might play well this week. So I try to look at a little bit of that. Justin Thomas, I mean, he's coming out on top pretty much everywhere. So pick your spots. He's probably going to be owned, but, you know, 11-9 is getting to that point where it's going to make your lineup construction pretty difficult. Ricky Fowler won a few weeks ago at the Waste Management. Finally took that one home, which was great to see. 36th last week at the WGC. You're really just going to have to make a decision there. I think 11-2 is something I'm probably willing to look past him. But if you know me, you know I like Ricky. And as I was talking about player bias, I'm going to be having him one way or another in at least a few lineups. But I'm not hugely confident with him. I do. It just, this course makes so much sense for both him and JT. But with some of the other names in the field and both of their prices, I think you can build a very strong lineup moving past them. Brooks Koepka is a guy who I ended up being very strongly on last week, and I plan to do the same this week. Something very interesting going off what I was just talking about was his ball striking. Strokes gained ball striking over the last four rounds of all players in this field, number one. Brooks finished T27 at the WGC last week, meaning he lost strokes around the green or on the green. If he can turn that around, a guy who spends a lot of time in Florida putting on these Bermuda greens has shown us what he's capable in the past in Florida. If he can rip driver and put himself into position past all the trouble, I think he could have a lot of success here. He played last week. He's back into the swing of things. He's Brooks. He's elite. I think he should be priced with JT, with Ricky, and you're getting a huge discount. So I love that. Then the other two, Adam Scott, Sergio, both also very viable options. Adam Scott always scared. They both always scare me. If I had to choose one of the two, it would be Sergio right now. Adam Scott, I saw him kind of implode 2 weeks ago at the Genesis. Not necessarily really imploding. He finished T7, but his putting went astray. Things got ugly there, but the course got very difficult. So you can justify what happened to him in your head, but I just don't know that I'm willing to pay 10-3 for him, even though he's had a lot of success here, and his ball striking is clearly returning to form. It's just whether or not he can do what it takes around the greens and avoid hitting it in the water and getting a triple, getting a quad here and there, you know. That could really hurt him. And I can pretty much say the same thing about Sergio, only he's, I'd say, a tad more consistent. So, kind of the two GPP plays from this group, I would say Koepka and Sergio. And then if you're leaning cash, play either of the guys at top, and you should be good to go. Jumping down into the 8 to 9, pretty much 8 to 10 range there, we have pretty nice group of people here. Three guys right up at the top there that I really like: Gary Woodland, Webb Simpson, and Cam Smith. I think your more chalky safe play here would be Gary Woodland, who is always kind of the chalky safe play. I don't love the price, so I would be very, very willing to jump on down to Webb Simpson, who we saw him at the Players Championship last year. We saw him week to week, he's hitting fairways and he's getting greens in regulation. And that is fantastic. He's also coming around to the putting over the last year, since the whole kind of similar problems with Adam Scott there with the anchored putters and the anchored putter rule. He finished T5 here last year, and he's Webb Simpson. He doesn't make huge mistakes. And that's what you're looking for in a course like this. Cam Smith is a guy who never goes very high owned. And he is a ball striking machine lately. And I honestly love him at the 9.5 price. His recent results, T6 last week at the WGC, I still feel like nobody talked about him. T49 at the Genesis, T15 at the Waste Management, T9 at the Farmers. I mean, he's constantly up there, and people still kind of refuse to talk about him. So Cam Smith, I think, very, very viable in this range. Dropping down, someone who might garner some attention is Daniel Berger. He had success in Puerto Rico last week. If you look into that a little bit, he was putting lights out. And we'll see if that continues. He is another Jupiter, Florida guy. So if he can keep that putting going on, I do not doubt that he can finish top 10 here. He's got two top 10s in the last 5 years, but he's also been cut three times. He's been injured kind of on and off or whatever. Hasn't performed great, but appears to be coming back into form. So it's something to consider, but I think 9.4 is a ridiculous price for him. I think 9.3 is a ridiculous price for Billy Herschel. So I'm willing to jump past both of those and go to my two staples who I like to see in the 8,000s that are now a little higher. Emiliano Grillo is actually still 89, so he is in the 8,000s. I like to see him at the lower 8,000s. So something to think about there too. But this field is, I'd say it's mid-range to a weak field with a few big names up top. So maybe that's justifying their price range right here. But Luke List, Emiliano Grillo, I think both great options this week. Luke List has probably been disappointing some people, but he did pull a T7 out at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am a couple weeks ago. He hits the ball a long way, so maybe he can take the route of what I was saying about Brooks Koepka and kind of just vomit past the trouble here, take some risks. He is prone to some big numbers sometimes, so that's like a little scary. But Emiliano, I think he's probably going to be pretty chalky even at 8,900. He's a ball striker. You can expect him in the fairway. You can expect him hitting greens. So that is definitely someone I'll be looking to play, especially in cash lineups. Or someone you know you can be pretty confident about making the cut. From there, two more names I really like. These are, of course, up at the top two. Lucas Glover. I'll say one more name, Lucas Glover. He's another Jupiter area resident. past 2 years, he's finished top 21 here, and I've been on him for the past however many, 3-4 tournaments he's played, and it's pretty much worked out. He just needs to get over that hump and produce. You know, we all know Lucas Glover has probably a range of things going on in his head when he finds himself top 15 going into Sunday. Hasn't quite worked out yet, but I think he's a very viable fantasy option pretty much week in and week out at this point. And then you've got the added bonus of the course history, the Bermuda greens, which he stats out very well on. And that actually, that I think was a complete lie. Let me just stat check myself. I'm pretty sure Lucas Glover is a horrible putter. Yeah. So I just completely lied there. That's probably the one thing you're going to have to worry about with him. But maybe his terrible putting gets better in Florida. And that's his reasoning for, that's the reason behind his two pretty decent finishes here the past 2 years. I'll go with that and support my Lucas Glover pick right there. And move on to, very quickly, Zach Johnson. I have pretty much been off him. He's been not looking great lately, but he's another area resident who has used to be like the Matt Kuchar, the Webb Simpson, the Zach Johnson, hit fairways, hit greens, and then make some putts. It hasn't been like that so much lately. But if he can return to what I know him as, it makes a ton of sense here. With that said, I'll probably be skipping on down from him. Not too much I'm interested in the lower eights here. Michael Thompson is someone worth mentioning. I read something today. He's got the most rounds in the bear trap without a single ball in the water from 2007 to 2018. That's 11 years that he didn't hit a ball in the water in the bear trap. And if you've ever watched the Honda Classic, pretty impressive. So he clearly knows the course. He's had three decent finishes here in the past 5 years, T24 last year. And he's been playing great. His recent form, T13 at the Farmers, T10 at Pebble Beach, T7 at the Genesis, like Michael Thompson. Nobody's talking about him, but bam, 8,000. Priced up there. Not something you're used to seeing Michael Thompson with an $8,000 price tag there. All right, jumping down into the value range. I'm going to start it off with CT Pan, just the cutmaker's cutmaker here. And he has some decent course history. He's got the short game. He's got the ball striking. He just never seems to actually go the extra mile to finish like top five, which is usually pretty painful, but at 7,800, you can't ask for much more than a top 15. So that's what I'm hoping to see out of him this week. I will definitely be on him. He hasn't done anything spectacular lately, but another guy you can be confident is going to be making a cut. Two guys that I'm kind of on the fence about, but are also Florida guys, Russell Knox and Jimmy Walker at 78 and 7,500. Probably Walker more so at this point. I think we've seen him coming back into form a little bit. Honestly, I feel like I've been saying that for like a year and a half, but even more so the past half a year. Jimmy Walker is due to have like a Sunday, to have the spotlight on him on a Sunday. So I'm just waiting for that. And I want to be ahead of it and not behind it. Wyndham Clark, very random, but he played very well at Puerto Rico last week. He's 7,400. I don't know so much that I'll be on that, but name's worth saying. Interesting tournament play there. Jumping on down. Three guys I've been talking about all year that I like all three of them here, and I can probably just leave it at that. Joaquin Niemann, Sungjae Im, Harold Varner. all three of these guys I have been very bullish on for a very long time, and I will continue to be here, especially at this course, because I feel like especially Joaquin Niemann and Sungjae Im, ball strikers. They've teed a green. They can get it done. If they can just start rolling in the putts when the pressure is on, I think we're going to see them doing much better. And the field isn't that strong. This is one of those fields that I think someone like this can have a lot of success in. So Niemann, Im, both guys I really like. Harold Varner, 7,300 still. I love that. So I'm definitely going to be playing him a little bit. A more chalky play would be Jason Kokrak. He's another guy with the ball striking, the very recent ball striking. He was right up there with Brooks in his last few rounds played, just didn't putt quite so well. And if he can start rolling in some putts, he should probably do well here. I just fear for the chalk, and that makes me want to fade him real bad. He's also missed his past two cuts here. That was in 2016 and 15, so you can almost block that out. But personally, Jason Kokrak, probably I would lean towards fade right now. Three Florida guys. I'm just going to go ahead and name five Florida guys right now in the lower sevens, all of which have proven themselves but haven't necessarily been playing very great lately. Kevin Tway, Jason Duffner, Bud Cauley, Brian Gay, Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk, that's like, hey Mike, hey, this is Roto One here, and for my obligatory old guy of the week, I choose Jim Furyk. There you have it. 7,000. You got to play Jim Furyk because Mike told you to. So that is definitely an interesting play. Tway, Duffner, Cauley, three guys. I don't want to play them, but if you need someone in this range, I think both are very in there. I would almost rather see if I can jump up to an Im, a Varner, a Walker. Dylan Fratelli is interesting to me. Brian Gay, he's been playing phenomenally. He's from the area. His putting is fantastic, especially on Bermuda. So I think that's sneaky because he missed a cut here last year. So hopefully people will maybe glance over him. But I think Brian Gay at 7,100 is a great play. Brendan Steele, 7,000, last guy in this range. Course history, really. He's got the course history. He has historically been a ball striker, but he's been playing pretty awful lately and hasn't made a cut in a while. So I'd consider him a punt, but some of these guys come back to Florida, like I've been talking about, and you know, you got your regions, you got your courses, you got your places that you know how to play well at, and you show up and you do your thing. So it's possible that is Brendan Steele's situation here. I hope it is, because he's T11, T14, T14 his last three starts here. All right, real quick, some darts under 7,000. I think Keith Mitchell is going to be the chalk of this group. Probably some Stuart Sink too. So those two, I think both in play, but probably more high owned for someone you're going to want to be kind of taking a punt with. If you're looking for some real punts, I'm talking Vaughn Taylor. I'm talking Nick Watney, Carlos Ortiz, Austin Cook, Castro, Roberto Castro. He's a guy that I think is another sneaky, quietly good ball striker. He played pretty well in Puerto Rico last week, at least a top 20, if I remember correctly, and 6,800. We'll see. But I think he's a very good golfer, and we've seen him, you know, up on top at least for parts of tournaments lately. And I can almost guarantee you he'll be no more than 4 or 5% owned. So definitely someone to think about there. And then two last guys, very cheap, Kevin Streelman and Johnson Wagner. Kevin Streelman is just, you know, the prototypical fairway green kind of guy that I love to shout out in this type of situation week after week after week. And he kind of, as we've mentioned, I think like last week, or maybe at Pebble Beach, I believe, was the last time I spoke about Kevin Streelman. Kind of let us down there for a while, but he did kind of what we expected him to do at Pebble Beach, and I'm hoping that to keep going. So 6,700 Streelman, make the cut, and I'm happy. That kind of play there. Make the cut, I'm happy, and see what you can do from there. Johnson Wagner would kind of qualify as the same thing. We saw him play pretty well in Puerto Rico. Missed his past three cuts here, so that is definitely the negative side. That's what's putting him at 6,500. With that said, I think he is a very interesting play this week. Real quick, one and dones. If you're still alive or still care about your one and done, I think there are definitely a few interesting options here. If I had to go up top, I'd probably be choosing an Adam Scott if you still have him. I was thinking about this for a little while here. Adam Scott, you just don't know what he's going to be doing later in the season. Adam Scott seems to be playing well right now, and he has extremely good course history. Course history is something kind of to consider pretty heavily in a one and done, because some guys just have those courses, and then if you miss it, you're not going to come back across it. And we've seen Adam Scott do well, you know, at the Masters. You could save him for the Masters, but I can think of a few guys I'd probably rather be playing at the Masters. So if I had to choose someone up top, it'd probably be Adam Scott, and then a couple middle of the pack kind of guys. Potential one and done picks would be Emiliano Grillo, if you have him. Cam Smith, another, again, just quietly been playing fantastic lately. I might have used him, might have vocalized my one and done desire for Cam Smith last week too, honestly. So if you did that, you're probably not mad at me. But if you didn't, I think you got another chance this week. And then if I had to throw one dart, one and done wise down low, it'd be Russell Knox. More course history, in form, surprisingly, very, very in form. So interesting, an interesting option for both one and done and in those DFS lineups this week. To wrap things up, patreon.com/lineuplogic. As I mentioned, head over there. You get all of our content. You get the Slack chat, you get the daily cheat sheets, you get a whole community to discuss things with 24/7. It's a great community. $10 a month. It's like a sandwich. So highly recommended. Get over there. Sign up at me, and I will answer any questions you have. I'm Alex Remizowski, Donald Remington on Twitter. My co-host, who is not here this week, Mike Alexander at Roto1 on Twitter. Give us a follow. And good luck this week. And hey, it's only me this week, so may the sports be with you.